I'm your host, Brittany McDowell, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of our PAC Politics Podcast. If you don't know, our podcast is brought to you by our organization, our United Resource PAC. We are a tax-exempt political organization. Hi, guys. I am so glad to be back. I've been away for an extended period. We have kind of taken some time away from the podcast to do some strategizing, did some regrouping. I'm super excited, feel super refreshed. And I'm really looking forward to some of the changes that we have in store for this podcast. I hope you're just as excited as I am. We did announce on our social media that we would be relaunching the podcast today. And so I hope you are looking forward to today's episode as much as I am looking forward to it. Anyhow, let's get into what we are going to be even talking about. Like, I have so much I could say. I could talk about what I've done in this time off. I could talk about what the organization has been doing, but that is not what is on our plate for this episode. On this episode, our first episode back after, again, an extended period away where I missed you guys so much, we're going to closely examine, or at least briefly observe closely, some of the talking points about direct stimulus payments to Americans. Because when you actually look at what some people are saying, you'll uncover some feelings that they have about, just blatantly putting it, people not deserving to get money, Americans not deserving the money that the government is giving them to stimulate the economy. And that kind of takes us to the kind of larger talking point of, like, look, when people really want to oppose something, they will find any reason to do so. That is really what we're seeing. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, especially around this whole inflation talk that some of you, many of you, have probably been hearing. Also, as you know, we have resources for you. We have a resource to help you check the status of the most recent economic impact payment if you have yet to receive it. That is what we have in store for today. So sit back, let's go ahead, let's get today's show, our first show in quite a while, started. You're listening to another episode of our PAC Politics Podcast. It's about that time for the next episode. So what was the expected allocation of stimulus funds? We know that some people have taken issue with, and they have, blatantly talked about the fact that they feel that Americans are not spending money, or that they have not spent their stimulus money in ways that they had kind of expected, right? And those ways that they expected were people spending the money on rent, on mortgage payment, and bills. And I get it. I get that that is, you know, the expectation. But there's an issue that I think needs to be talked about. And it's the fact that this really comes down to people feeling like people don't deserve money, at least the stimulus money. What, Brittany, what in the world are you talking about? Well, look, rent, mortgage, and bills, right? Those are things that pretty much all adults in this country have to deal with, right? They have to take care of. And as part of being a responsible adult, you have to take care of these things, right? But we saw, especially going back to that first stimulus package, we saw data that suggested that people were spending money on other things, right? They were getting electronics. They were, ordering out a little bit more. They were saving, which we'll talk about momentarily. They were doing a whole bunch of things that were outside of the realm of rent, mortgages, and bills. How dare these people, people who did not work for this money, people who did not put blood, sweat, and tears into earning this money, how dare they take that money and do things that will, or buy things that will bring them enjoyment? They don't deserve to do that. They barely deserve to be able to afford a home. That was the sentiment that we had seen, like literally seen. And I'm talking about like when you observed, especially on like mainstream media, when you observed some of these people talking and, you know, specifically stating this, that, you know, well, you know, they should have spent the money on bills and rent and mortgages. When you observed these, when you literally saw their faces, when you saw their body language, you sensed that they were uncomfortable. You sensed that they were angry. You sensed that they were frustrated that people who did not deserve the money spent it on something other than the bare necessities. And the reason that I have an issue with this is not because I want to validate people's ability to spend money on the latest video games or spend money, you know, what else were they doing? I don't know, buying clothes, you know, whatever. I don't want to validate that. But the reason that I take an issue and I feel it's worth noting is because money that was not used for rent, not used for mortgages, not used to pay bills, was still put into the economy. That money still ended up circulating in our economy. And what was the point of stimulus? The point of the stimulus was to stimulate the economy. It's the economy, stupid. I had mentioned months and months ago in a previous podcast episode that what a lot of people really want is they want control. They want to dictate to you what you do with, look it, let me tell you, even if, let's say Bob, right? Bob gets his stimulus check. He has his rent that's due. He doesn't go pay his rent. Instead of that, he goes to GameStop and he buys all the games, he goes to Walmart and he just does it up and he doesn't pay his rent. Yeah, he's probably going to get kicked out of his spot. Yeah, he probably will. But Bob still took that money to Walmart or wherever the heck he went and put that money into our economy. Bob has to deal with the ramifications of what happens from him not paying his rent. But the American economy still got stimulated. Now, does it make the most sense? No. But again, we have to look at the point. What was the point of the stimulus? The point of the stimulus was to stimulate the economy. And people should not care the way by which people decided to personally stimulate the economy. What they should care about is, was the economy stimulated? Now, are there ways that are going to be more stimulating to the economy than others? Absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. But as much as we like to talk about the free market doesn't only and exclusively apply to businesses where they get to decide and they, you know, explore and they're out, you know, on the free market. The free market is also applicable to the consumer. You don't have a market in this economy without the consumer, and they are just as free as the businesses. And so I say this before we really get into kind of the nitty gritty of inflation due to stimulus. I say this because it's just been bugging me over the time that that I have been away. You know, I've really been observing when you really look at and listen to what some people are saying, what they want from the average consumer is they want control. They really want control. They want to tell you where to spend your money and how to spend your money. But when you actually look at what you have done, regardless of how you've decided to spend your money. Even if you've kept your money in the bank, and we'll talk about that later, you still have stimulated the economy. Like has been said in the past, it's the economy, stupid. Are they setting up opposition for the next stimulus package? Answer to that is yes. Yes, they abso-freaking-lutely are. And they're doing it in a way that, on the surface level, might make sense to some people. What in the heck am I talking about? Well, last week, if you heard, the Commerce Department, they said that consumer spending in the U.S. rose slightly more than 4% in March after having fell around 1% in February. And so ultimately what you conclude from that is, oh my gosh, Americans are spending more, right? That's a good thing. Now, let's kind of jump from that. Keep that at the back of your mind to this argument or these talks of inflation. You basically have two camps, two parties, right? One camp, one side is saying, look, you know, these government relief programs, they're going to lead to more inflation. They are going to lead to inflation, and this is going to be detrimental to our economy. Sound the alarm bells. Oh my gosh, what are we doing? It's going to be like this horrible, like, right? They're totally just putting it out there that, oh my gosh, what have we done, right? Inflation. But then on the other side, you have party number two, which is saying, hey, you know, it's not that bad. You know, hey, it is what it is. You know, it's happening, but hey, you know, they're just, in some respects, they might be seen as kind of downplaying this threat of inflation. I want to speak to the idea that party number two in this equation is downplaying the problem, the threat of inflation. It ultimately is because some people are saying the Biden administration here is the party responsible for downplaying, right? They want to downplay it because, you know, 100 days in, like, okay, we're now on their watch. They can't blame anything on Trump, you know? And so because they want to look good, they want to, you know, look like they're hitting the gate, you know, they're running out the gate and they're just doing really well from the get-go. They totally want to play it down. That is what some people think. Keep in mind that the Fed said that, yes, there is absolutely going to be inflation, but the inflation that we are going to see is going to be temporary. On a previous podcast episode, I talked about, and this was, you know, kind of somewhere around, I think maybe the summer of last year, there was the conversation that I had with you guys about perception. And the reality is how you view this kind of downplaying of the threat and kind of the intent around it has to do with your beliefs of intent of the Biden administration. Do you believe that the Biden administration just wants to look good at all costs? Or do you believe that the Biden administration absolutely and unequivocally genuinely believes that the inflation will be short-lived and not really be as bad as the other side is saying? What do you believe? Because what you believe about the intent has everything to do with how you will see not only the downplaying of inflation, but how you will even view the argument of, is there inflation? Is there not inflation? Again, it's not always just about the data, right? In addition to data, consumers, people, they come in with bias. And we've talked about this before. We talk about bias is this like bad thing a lot of time because we talk about it, you know, in like a racial context. But the reality is that we all have bias, and we have it in more ways than just racism and sexism and, you know, all this, these other isms that we have nowadays. And in some respects, the bias isn't necessarily bad, but you do need to be aware of it, not necessarily to correct it. Because is there truly a right or wrong answer? If you genuinely believe that Joe Biden is walking the halls of the White House, right, and you believe that he's just not competent and that he's surrounded himself with super not competent individuals, I would say that if you genuinely believe that, I would say that you're genuinely justified in that belief. I know I wouldn't believe what somebody who I really thought was incompetent thought. And so I'm saying this not because I want to influence you to think, you know, in terms of siding with party A or siding with party B, or one or two, right? I don't want to influence or change if you think that the inflation is downplayed, or, you know, if you think that there genuinely is inflation, because it's not just that, it's more than that. What you are going to believe about inflation ultimately will fall back on what you believe about President Biden and his administration. And this is kind of one of those missing pieces that we see in media. Even hear news stories. And I encourage you to be aware of this, so that way when you come across issues, right? We as an organization used to focus on social issues. Now we are focused exclusively on, now in the foreseeable future, economic issues. And so in doing so, when you think about social issues, for instance, issues that can be really, really divisive for people, it's not that you should be trying to understand the other side so that you can necessarily think what they think, but you just need to understand that the reason people may think differently than you is because their perception of it is totally different, right? Let's even look at it in the context of what we saw with stimulus at the end of the Trump administration, right? We saw months of negotiations, or in some cases, lack of negotiation around stimulus. And we saw, you know, what some people, you know, myself included, we saw the right essentially oppose assisting the economy at every turn. But in order to understand why they had such opposition, you really had to understand what their beliefs were about other issues. And the same, again, applies to this talk about inflation. It's not just about the numbers. And anyone who would try and tell you that, oh, it's just about the numbers, and if you look at the numbers speaks for themselves. Yeah, they do. But even when I have the numbers, I as a human have to interpret those numbers, and how I interpret those numbers can be very different than how someone else interprets those numbers. Keep that in mind, because data is not the end all be all. And we see that here again with these talks of inflation. Right? It's the interpretation of that data that matters, I would even say, more than the data itself. So keep that in mind. So I've rambled on about that for a few minutes. Again, keep in mind that I said what the Commerce Department said. They said that spending is essentially up, right? We went from a fall in spending of about 1% in February to a rise to about 4+% in March. In March, the savings rate here in the United States, it shot up, okay? It was previously at slightly under 14%, and it shot up to around 27.5%. And this was according to Reuters. I want you to think about something. Remember I mentioned earlier in when I asked the question, what was the expected allocation of stimulus funds? I talked about how essentially some people really just had a problem ultimately that some people got money that they didn't necessarily earn because they didn't feel like they deserve it. And if you don't deserve it, you shouldn't get it. And if you do get it, how dare you spend it on anything more than your mortgage, your bills, or your rent, right? One of the things that I mentioned that we've heard, if you've paid attention to the news around stimulus, you've heard that some money isn't circulating. And I take issue with that. But there's this concern that some money isn't circulating because it's sitting in the bank. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not giving you any financial advice, but having your bank just sitting in the money and having your money just sit in the bank is not the best way to make your money work for you. Okay. I'm not going to go into anything else. I'm not giving you financial advice, but that's just what I have to say. But when you consider that savings rates rose, people are saving more. Let's look at how the banks make money, right? Are the banks selling you, like, when you think of like the average selling of a product or selling of a service, you don't exactly think of a bank, right? They do sell both, but not typically in the way that most businesses do, right? Essentially what they do is they get that interest, right? That interest that they get from money, and then they basically loan it out. And then like it creates this whole ripple effect for our economy. Why do I bring this up? Because this argument about people saving money and keeping it in banks having no effect on our economy is completely disingenuous. Even if they themselves, even if Bob got his stimulus check, why do I keep using Bob? Let's use somebody else. Even if Felicia got her stimulus check and she put it in a savings account that had very low yields, by the way, and she put her money in a savings account that made her pennies, she does not directly take that money out into the economy, but you know who does? The bank does. And they take that money out into the economy in the form of loaning that money out to businesses, to homeowners, right? They take that money and they put it out. So basically what we just have is instead of person A circulating that money in the economy, you actually have persons B and C. Person B decides who person C will be, right? And person C is the person to put it out into the economy. It's still, the money still makes it into the economy. So this brings me to a point, right? I've rambled about, you know, the Biden administration. I've rambled about the Commerce Department. I've rambled about banks and inflation. What the heck am I getting at in all of this? Look, the fact of the matter is when people want to oppose something, they will find any reason to do it. They really will. Now, am I saying that inflation, for instance, is not a problem? That we won't have any inflation? No. I mean, you see it all around us as I speak, right? But when you examine the beliefs of a lot of people, even if they never come out, because here's kind of a fact too. Sometimes when people can't defend their positions, they start trying to put the other party on the defense. What am I talking about? Well, if you tell me, well, Brittany, you just oppose this because you don't believe people should get money. The best way for me not to have to defend what you are accusing me of is to just say, well, you don't know what I believe. I've never told you what I believe. In a lot of cases, these people, the opposition to stimulating the economy directly through Americans, in a lot of cases, they will not outright tell you, look, I don't believe these people deserve the money. They won't do it. They won't say it. But when you examine their actions will tell you what they believe. What do they vote on? What do they frequently talk about? What do they not talk about? How do they talk about things, right? How do they, all of these things, when you kind of put things, no, they may not come out and say, yo, I don't believe you should get a dollar. No, they're not going to say that. But what they will do is they'll vote against your interest every single time. What they will do is they will only get on television and they will only talk about the needs of businesses, never once mentioning the needs of the American family, the American consumer. What they will only do, man, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. You just have to be willing to open your eyes. And people will tell you, a lot of people in various situations will tell you, you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't guess a person's intent. You shouldn't just assume, yes, in the hell you should. But you need to do it in a way that is based on observation, that is based on some sort of coming to some sort of rational conclusion. Don't just jump and say, aha, I know you don't want, like, if you're going to say something about the intent of someone, you need to be able to at least reasonably back it up. But when they tell you, you can't assume the intent of the other party, you can't assume that the other party doesn't want you to get a stimulus check. You can't assume that they don't care if you go out and get COVID. That no. It's okay for me to assume that if I have rationally come to that conclusion through observation. Why do I even bring this up? Why the heck have I kind of given this kind of all over the place, kind of talk, you know, over the last few minutes? It's because going back to this talk of inflation, it's really incendiary, right? We see not just that there are two arguments around inflation, but the way that they are being pit against each other. I would go so far as to say that we are seeing more of a concerted effort more in favor of party one, which is the party saying, well, look, inflation is bad. It's going to be horrible. And you were once seeing almost an even split between some people saying, oh, you know, it's, you know, kind of downplaying it. And then some really, you know, using it as a tool of mass hysteria. The talk around inflation, regardless of where people are falling, is really incendiary at this point. And this is being done to oppose what is being prepared right now. What is being prepared right now is President Joe Biden's $1.8 trillion American Families Plan. this was talked about, not by me, because you know, this is our first episode back in a while, but this has been talked about in the media over the last few days. They are laying the groundwork for the opposition to this package. I just told you, it's okay to assume. Some might say, well, Brittany, you shouldn't assume that they're doing it because they want to look. As long as I make observations and I can back up through those observations how I'm coming to my assumptions, that is okay. That is logical. In most cases, it is necessary. So mark my words. Mark my words. Look at the people who are speaking the loudest, clamoring on pans the hardest right now, screaming at the top of their lungs about inflation. And mark my words where they will fall if they decide and when they decide to make public statements about this next $1.8 trillion stimulus package. These are going to be the same people to oppose it. There's no doubt about it in my mind. No doubt about it. They are setting the ground, not me. Good God, no. I please stimulate our economy, right? They are setting the ground. They are laying the framework to oppose stimulus. And why are they doing this so strategically? Look at opposition last time. Last time, they couldn't really oppose it, right? People who, even in the Democratic Party, who I won't name at this point, people in the Democratic Party who really wanted to oppose it really couldn't because logically there was no reason to really oppose it. But this time around, it's going to be a whole different ballgame. They have learned their mistake from that first go around with President Biden and his first stimulus package. They will not, as much as they oppose helping the American people and the American families, as much as they oppose it, they have learned their lesson and they will not make the same mistake this time. We are going to see more fervent opposition to the next stimulus package, which I am like 90-95% sure that we are going to see, but we're going to see more opposition, and that opposition this time around is going to be more strategic, and it has started with the talks of inflation. Is inflation real? Is it a thing? Absolutely. But I urge you to research for yourself, get some information, and really come to know if it's as bad as they are saying, if it will be as long term as they are saying. Because when you see these things and you do a little bit of research, you will absolutely be able to see what in the heck is going on. And that is that they are looking to oppose, they are preparing to oppose fervently the next stimulus package for the American people and the American economy. Today's resource that I am sharing is a resource that we have mentioned and promoted several times on our podcast before. What it is an official government tool that will help you confirm if the IRS and Treasury have sent your economic impact payment, your stimulus check. But in addition to that, it will also let you know the method by which they sent it, how they sent it, if they sent a direct deposit, and if you didn't get it, maybe it went into a wrong account. And if that's the case, it will also inform you of what will happen. Maybe they mailed you a check and it's in the mail and your mail is just, who knows, right? But if I don't have that information, but this tool does, it again is an official government tool. To get access to it, if you look in the description box of this episode, you will find a link to join our mailing list. We will not spam you.
Our mailing list is an awesome way to keep in contact with us. But most importantly, it's an awesome way to get access to this tool. It's great, again, for you if you have not yet received your economic impact payment, as well as other people. It might be something that you want to get access to, so that way you can share it with them. The resource also does mention the other kind of option that some people are going to have when it comes to actually getting your economic impact payment. Some people will get checks, some people will get direct deposits, some people who are eligible will end up having to utilize a tax credit. If you want more information, not just on how you'll get your payment, if you'll get it when, you also, you know, might want to get information on this tax credit, which this tool will also provide you information on. So again, if you look in the description box below, click the link to join our email list. You'll just have to give us your name, your email address, and as soon as you sign up, we'll get you a welcome email, and then like within a few seconds after that, you'll get the email with access to this resource. So you can find that in the description box below. I hope the resource is of benefit to you or someone you know. All right, so that is our show for today, May 3rd, 2021. Again, I thank you so much for tuning into our first episode in quite a while. You can look forward to episodes on our regular schedule, which is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, except for when we are off. And just a heads up, we will be away this Wednesday. We are off this Wednesday, so you'll have our next podcast episode on Friday. I hope that you walked away from today's episode understanding the expectations that some people had around how stimulus funds would be allocated, not by the government, but by the average American, how they would use their stimulus. And I hope you understand why they thought what they thought, or why they still think what they think about how you, the average American, should be spending your stimulus, if you still have it at this point, right? And in addition to that, I really want you to walk away, probably more importantly, understanding that we are seeing before our eyes the laying of the groundwork around opposition to the next stimulus package. And this is important because our expectation should be, even though it wasn't exactly a cakewalk, but our expectation should be that the next stimulus package will not be this kind of semi-cakewalk that we saw last go around under the Biden administration. Trust and believe me when I tell you that opposition to this next stimulus package is going to be unlike what we saw. It is going to be more organized. And I think that we are going to see some detraction in the Democrat Party, and I don't know if they are really going to be able to afford that, given that more likely than not, they're going to have to use the process of reconciliation, which we covered last go around in one of our last episodes. They're really going to probably have to use reconciliation. And if they have detraction with the Democrats or within the Democratic Party, I don't quite know how they will make this work. So again, we'll see what happens. But again, I hope you walk away understanding what we are seeing before our very eyes, because they are setting up opposition before we even have, you know, really extended understanding of this kind of next phase or round of stimulus for the American people. So that was our episode. I hope you have a good rest of your day. Please, please, please stay safe. I know that things are opening back up, right? We're ready to get back out to life.
You know, you've got your shots, you're doing you, you're seeing your family and your friends, you're going out to those restaurants, but still, please still remember that the virus is still out there and it is looking to take you out. Don't let it, because I need you to listen to this podcast. I need you to be informed. I need you to be my fellow American who continues to beat the virus, right? So anyhow, you have a good one. Have a good rest of your day. And again, thank you for listening to this episode of our PAC Politics Podcast.